Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, throw my little dude up there, Spencer. Shoot him up there on the screen. Let me see. I got all these pictures over here. I don't want to put me on the screen. Whatever. Let me know when it's up there, buddy. How come Spencer come in here and help me, man? I can't even see the home screen here. I got a chance yesterday after 5 weeks. 5 weeks. There it is. To go see my grandson, Declan. There's a proud grampy and a healthy little, isn't that something? And I just appreciate all of you out there that are praying. I pray that you just continue to pray for him if you can. He's a spunky, healthy, crying little boy, man. He's something, beautiful little guy. But he's not processing his food properly, and so he has some diarrhea and some different stuff like that. And he loves his mommy and he loves to nurse from his mommy, but for some reason it's not all being absorbed and he's losing a little bit of weight. So I went in there, laid my hands on that little guy, prayed for him yesterday that he's fearfully and wonderfully made and get that food going down through his gut properly so we can get him home here where he belongs. 35 days. My dear little Maggie, our daughter, goes over there and sits in this little room and holds him and nurses him for hours all day. So pray for her. The three grandkids end up here. We love our grandkids, but they end up here. And it's just our whole family's upside down, right? It is. And my wife, we're heading to New Hampshire this week. I was going to New Hampshire and up to Maine. And Michelle was going to go with me, but not able to get away. So just pray this little guy gets home, will you? Pray that he gets home. We thank God for where he is right now and what's happened to him and all that kind of stuff. And amen. Praise the Lord. Spencer, did I send you? There it is. Stuff. I couldn't find it. Hey, Spence, pull up Matthew 23 for you real quickly. Before I do that, hey, is there Dr. David? Are you in here today? You sent me an email yesterday. Said you wanted to talk about something. Give you a chance to get in here if you can. Spencer, while he's getting in there, let's go to the calendar real quick. I don't know if he's coming or not. And I'm thinking really hard. In fact, I texted Jared this morning about getting away from Google. I don't like Google. Google or spies. We've been using Google Meet for a long time, but there's a new group out there called Clout Hub, CloutHub, Clout Hub. And they do basically the same thing that Google Hangouts does, except their Christian group. Met the actual guy who developed it when we were down in Missouri. And so I'm yelling at you, Spencer, and I'm yelling at you, Jared. Let's check out Clout Hub. I don't like Google. I don't like, they're wicked. And some of our guests will not, I try to get some good guests on here. They will not deal with Google. I don't know if you noticed this or not. You go to Google Meet and you download it and ask you all kinds of questions and they want access to your photos. And pray with us on that. Get the calendar up here real quick. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. What is that? Oh yeah. I'm going to be in New Hampshire tomorrow. Going to fly out tomorrow morning. Be going all weekend, travel up to Maine. Be up to Maine on Saturday and Sunday. Ohio Brett's going to be with me. We'll drive home. I'll be home, I hope, in time to do the show on Monday morning. We'll see. So they're having a Maine fall huddle as well. October 23rd, the Embattled Warriors are in Missouri, of all places to be. If you're in that area, jump in there with them. The Pennsylvania Assault and Light Brigade fall huddle. Listen, Russ Dizdar is fighting that thing right now. He and his wife are both fighting that thing right now. And actually, I was able to connect with Tom Dunn last night and I was able to get him some horse paste and some other stuff that he hadn't been taking very good care of himself, folks. Listen, friends, you got to boost your immune system. Okay. I don't know if you guys think we're just playing. Rob Skiba died yesterday. Some of you don't even know who Rob Skiba is. Rob's probably mid, late 40s, maybe early 50s. He's one of us, prophecy teacher, great guy. Went into the hospital, had a cardiac arrest yesterday. Weren't able to revive him. And as I've said a number of times, this is, it's blood clots, friends. It's blood clots. And I don't know how many times I can tell you or explain to you or ask you, please do some type of prophylactic. Go to Dr. Zelensky. Can you pull that up there, Spence? Say, no, I can't. I'm not ready for that. Dr. Zelensky, just type him in up there, see if it doesn't pop in. And, you know, with all my contacts with Dr. Sherry and some of the other folks who I've been lucky enough to meet, right there, I think Dr. Zelensky protocol right at the top maybe would be it, right there. Well, that's not it. Anyway, if we get to his website, I'm sorry, I wasn't ready for this. There he is. No, that's not it. That's not it. His Z-Pack and all that.
It's Zelenko.
Zelenko. Dr. Zelenko, where is it? Help me out. Anyway, come on, folks. Get yourself healthy, will you? Get yourself up. There it is. Thank you, man. Download his protocol. It's right there on the what's the website, Spencer? What is the name of it? I can't see it.
Vladimir Zelenko MD.com.
I don't know. I can't hear you about it if you're talking to
it's
me.
It's Vladimir Zelenko MD.com.
Vladimir Zelenko MD.com. Spell that for me, Spence. Well, there it is. There it was. Vladimir, Vladimir Zelenko, Zelenko. Vladimir Zelenko.com. All right?
MD. Now, medical
MD. I'm going to put an MD on the end of it. Vladimir Zelenko MD.com. Now, friends, he's putting this out for everybody. Go to his protocol on how, number one, you're going to prevent yourself from getting sick. He has produced what he calls the Z stack, but I tell you this right now, you can't get it. They're back ordered. You can't get it. So you go to his page and he tells you the protocol for low risk and moderate risk patients. Do you want to stay healthy or do you want to get sick and then have to try to get healthy? Which do you want to do? And right there it is, low risk patients. If you got children or young, healthy people, they should still be taking what they call prophylaxis, which is preparation or preventative measures. He tells you right there how to do it. And then he has a protocol for high risk patients. He said patients are considered high risk if they're over the age of 45 or if they're younger than 45 but have comorbidities, diabetes, you know what those things are, right? So he gives you the protocol. He says, go out and take this, will you? Protocol for high risk patients. He gives you that. In fact, scroll all the way down, Spencer. He actually lists, now listen, I'm sorry. These are protocol to keep from getting it. To keep from getting it, okay? To keep you from getting it, he tells you what you should be taking. Elemental zinc, 25 milligrams one time a day. Vitamin D, 5,000 one times a day. Vitamin C, 1,000. This is preventative, so you don't get sick. Quercetin, 500 milligrams one time a day. He says if quercetin is unavailable, then he gives you this other stuff that you can take. But quercetin, you can get over the counter, okay? He says if you're high risk, you have a comorbidity, then take the zinc, vitamin D, hydroxychloroquine, which is hard to get, is it not? Look at this. He says if hydroxychloroquine is unavailable, then use protocol for low and moderate risk patients. So you can't get HCQ. Go back to the protocol for go back up to the top. What's the protocol? Well, then up, Spencer. Go up a little more. Keep going. There it is. There's your protocol for low and moderate risk. So if you can't get hydroxychloroquine, he said use the one above. Okay. Are you guys doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Come on, man. Come on. We're lucky we haven't lost anybody in the queue here. Dizdar's sick, man. His wife's sick. He hasn't been doing any of this. Love you, Russ. I'm not talking bad about you. He's not doing any of this. Rob Skiba is dead. Was he doing this? I don't know. Have they been vaccinated? I don't know. Folks, don't take the vaccine. Why would you ever take the vaccine? Can somebody please tell me why you would ever take the vaccine? Why are we doing this stuff? Why are we killing ourselves? And we'll get into all that. Pray for Russ Dizdar. Love Russ Dizdar. We need that big boy around, that's for sure. So I met Tom Dunn last night halfway. Jeff, I was at JC's Autos last night. Tom Dunn and I met there last night, and I gave Tom some of my protocol and sent it to Russ, and we went up to Russ and got it in him last night. God, it just frustrates me. Just frustrates me. Come on, man. Come on, some of you folks out there. What are you doing? What, you waiting to get sick? Is that what you want to do? You want to get sick and then fight like hell to stay alive? Is that what you want to do? Come on. So here's, put this in the chat, Spencer. Put that link in the chat. This guy, he has that Z-Pack, and I went on to order a Z-Pack, and they said there's 3-week back date to get it. 3 weeks to get it. They don't have it. So in the meantime, here's what you want to do. Dr. Zelenko is the one who contacted President Trump when President Trump had COVID, supposedly had COVID, and they took Dr. Zelensky's protocol. Trump was back on his feet in no time. So friends, come on. Listen, prevention is worth a pound of cure. Man, I got them lined up in here already. I haven't even got started. Go ahead, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? I just want to pray for Declan and Russ Disler's wife.
Yeah, Shelly. Russ, Shelly, and little Declan. Hey, Declan's coming out of that hospital. You know why? Grampy went in there and laid hands on him yesterday. Grampy did. Grampy went in there and spoke life into that little boy yesterday. And he's fearfully and wonderfully made. And as a patriarch of my family, God gives me the authority to do that. That little boy's coming out soon. Jeff, come on in.
Okay. Was Myra going to pray?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Godfather. Thank you, Jesus, for a brand new day. We give you praise and glory. Lord, I come before your presence and ask you to please, for the hedge of protection and the whole armor of God to be with Declan and Russ, this Lord, wife. Lord, that you be with them at all times, that Declan goes to be a prophet, whatever you want him to be, as long as he's in your mission, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's do it. By the way, I did. I lay hands on that little deck, and that dude's coming out of there. He's coming out of there. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just to let everybody know, this weekend will be our first On the Square Freedom Rally. The subtitle is We Will Not Bow. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're not bowing to this government, to this mask mandate, to the drugs. We got a few people coming in to speak. I guess they do have Joe Blystone scheduled. It's at 2:00 Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4. And basically I had to get somebody like a Joe Blystone just to get the people there so Pastor Bill can rail for a while on the court square there in Coshocton, Sunday at 2:00.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Somebody else is in there, dropped out. They want to come back in.
Hey, Coach. Sorry to interrupt, Coach. It looks like you can order Zelenko's Z-Pack if you go to zstacklife.com. Zstacklife.com. It looks like it can be ordered.
Glenn, when I tried to order it, brother, there's a backlog on it. You couldn't get it. But if you guys, I highly recommend this. He's created his own. It's called the Z-Stack for Zelenko, right? Immune system support. Shop here. Click on that real quick for Spence and see if there's a back order on it, say. Because when I went there the other day, it said, golly, delivery will be blah, blah, blah. So maybe it's up to date. 2 weeks back order. I thought so. So
okay.
Get out to the store and get that stuff hired, okay? ChristianRevolution.net. Man, we're up and running. Good stuff going on. You know what our biggest problem is at the ChristianRevolution.net is how to deal with all the appeals. See, we're winning for sure. We're winning, but folks, we live in a lawless country, and well, maybe it's not. Maybe that's not the right word. We live in a two systems of law country, where those in authority live by one set of rules, And those of us not in authority live by a second set of rules, although we are in a position of authority, aren't we? We have to learn to exert our authority, which we haven't been doing. But the people are pushing back. The NBA, Kyrie Irving, there's a lot going on. But it's local. It's local. We have to continue to stand up and push back and fight locally. Can you get the ChristianRevolution.net up there for me, Spencer? Again, Pennsylvania, over Halloween, that weekend. When we'll talk about Halloween later on this week, next week, by the way. And get there. It's all free. Dizdar, if you get him healthy. Tom Dunn, saw Tom yesterday. It's going to be good. Reggie, some others. Cool. Spence, I feel like you're a little behind. There we are. Anyway, folks, please spread this. Some of you, a lot of you have supported this. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Spread the word, will you? Spread the word to others. Because these things are popping up everywhere. Okay, what do I want to do, Coach? What do you want to do? What do you want to do over here? Anybody got? Yeah, Brett, come on in, Brett.
Yeah, two things, Coach. Steve Quayle, prayer for Steve yeah. Quayle.
Steve's
he's on the mend.
Yeah, Brett, hang on. He's not well. He's not well yet either. I heard from him yesterday. He's not well yet either. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then also, as far as the huddle there in October 30th, please sign up so we have a good yes. count for what we need for lunch.
Do that, folks.
Appreciate it.
And we are going to take an offering there, right? We are going to take an offering. So,
absolutely,
it's going to be a great event. I'm going to be, as I said, flying out tomorrow for New Hampshire for the weekend. See some of you in New Hampshire. See some of you in Maine. The greatest warriors I know in America right now are fighting the battle in New Hampshire. Did you guys? You guys didn't see this, I'm sure, that the governor Sununu in New Hampshire wanted to take like $25 million from the federal government for COVID relief. And our boys and girls up there in New Hampshire rose up and overturned it 5-1. The board would not approve it. So we understand, once they get their claws in you with COVID relief money, then come restrictions with it, right? So they were smart enough to push back against that, fight back against it, and praise the Lord for that. We'll be up there this Friday. Be up there Friday night. Man, my brain's frozen today. I'm in Matthew 23. Is Silver in here today? Silver's always in here. I shouldn't even have to ask that. Are you queued up, Silver? Or maybe he's not in here today. I have to read it myself. Can I tell you the truth? Yeah, say, of course you can, Coach. I don't know if there's a...
Coach, I'm here.
I know you are, Silver. Thanks. Get ready to go here. I don't know nicer... I know a lot of really, really good pastors. I know a lot of them. To be a pastor has to be a special calling. Has to be. And I don't know for the life of me why anybody would want to do it. But here's my opinion coming from me now. There's fivefold ministry. There's the apostle. There's the prophet, the pointing finger, thus saith the Lord, right? The apostle, if you look at the thumb, the apostle can touch every one of the other thumb fingers. Not only can he touch them, he can control them. He has dominance over every other one. Do you guys ever notice that? So it says in the scripture, he gave some apostles. That's a very, very special anointing. The job of an apostle is to do what? To help control these other things here that's going on. The prophet, thus saith the Lord. And we know what the Bible says about the prophet. He's not going to be very well liked, especially the Bible says, especially in his hometown. I'm not going to like God. I'm not going to like the finger pointer, one who speaks for God, the oracles of God for God, not the future teller, not the fortune teller prophet. I see this in your life, brother. I see this in your future, brother. All types of financial blessing coming your way, brother. That's not a prophet. Sorry, I need a prophet. Prophet brings correction and directions and speaks for God, the oracles of God. So you have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Evangelist is a standalone guy. Goes out there. It's pretty hard to control the evangelist. He goes out there on his own, tries to win people to Christ. That's the evangelist. And then if you look it up, which I wasn't ready to do this, I would have put it up there. The last one says pastor/teacher, pastor, teacher, pastor, teacher, pastor, teacher. And somebody explained to me let me explain to you. We're in the mess that we're in America today because this guy, the pastor, is here. Somebody give me a thumbs up, says, you know what I'm talking about. This guy here, just one of the fivefold ministries, is he's disjointed. He's clear over here, controlling everything else.
Amen, Coach.
And the job of the pastor, I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the truth. The job of the pastor is nothing more than to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. That is it. Not rub their back, not powder their nose, not hold their hand when they're crying. Certainly he will do all that. But his job is, if you have to go to your pastor for guidance, you've missed something. You've missed something. You should, all the time that you've been in church, you should have been trained, equipped, and mobilized. Trained, equipped, and mobilized. And I said yesterday, a couple of days ago, the problem we have is our fist is busted. Our hand's busted. We have a disjointed hand. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. See if it doesn't say that. Pastor and teacher. So we need our pastors. The pastor, my opinion, was never designed to run a church. Never designed like that. Go back and look at the first century model of how they did church. I can tell you this. There was a church at Smyrna. There was a church at Thessalonica. There were different churches, the church in each community, and it wasn't that they all gathered in the same building. The Bible says they went from house to house. So, somebody, am I wrong, Jill Silver? Somebody, am I wrong here? Am I talking to myself?
You're exactly right, Coach.
And at what point did it go from house to house to mega churches? When did that happen? That is a modern day invention. And you know what the worst thing about mega churches is? No accountability, and you can hide. That's what it is. So where do you go? I go to World Harvest Church. Do you? Oh, how many people go there? 5,000. Really? 5,000? Do you have small groups? Oh, yeah, we do. Do you get to talk to the pastor? Oh, no, I can never talk to the pastor. What? Oh, no. I can never talk to him. He's a pastor? You can't talk to him? Well, first of all, he ain't supposed to be in that spot. He's supposed to be down here, training, equipping, and mobilizing.
Those are prophets for profit.
What's that, Joe?
Those are profits for profit.
Well, whatever. Nobody's against money here. We understand that money makes the world go around. Jesse Duplantis barking out that he's a billionaire. Come on. So the problem we have is a misunderstanding, in my not-so-humble opinion, of this guy's job. Pastor, teacher. It's a shepherd, right? It's a shepherd. He trains, equips, and mobilizes. Now, if you were to be honest, how many of you in your Christian walk in your local church have been trained, equipped, and mobilized?
I have.
Not very many, right? Not very many. We're trained and equipped, maybe. Trained and equipped, sort of. Trained and equipped to do what? The works of the ministry. What's the works of the ministry? I don't know.
Evangelism.
Yeah, it's not just the job of the evangelist.
That's right.
And again, at all time we can flow. Do you know this? My son-in-law is a pastor to his family. Do you know that? Right? You may get in a group of people where you're the one doing the teaching and training and equipping and mobilizing. That's not a job description. That's not a permanent position in the church. One person holding. Anyway, I'm getting myself in trouble. I'm getting myself in trouble because I thought it was unique that I heard this morning, or this as I came down the steps, the Holy Spirit said to me, Matthew 23. So I'm just going to turn Joe loose. I want you to find out. I want you to realize that even in the days of Jesus Christ himself, the problem was the leaders. It's never changed. Go ahead, Joe.
Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
In other words, position of authority.
All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not.
Wow. I could shut off the show right now. That is, I'm sorry, that's America's pastors. Right there it is. For they say and do not. Go ahead.
For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.
Does anybody think I'm off base here? Joe, am I off base? Anybody think I didn't write this. And Jesus himself is speaking to the leaders of the church in his day. Go ahead, Joe.
But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi,
Pastor,
Rabbi.
Pastor, oh, Pastor. Listen, I'm not making fun of the God. I know that there are guys who can't even rub two nickels together. They're out there laboring hard for the truth. But you better understand me. You can labor all you want to, dudes. The machine's broken. The machine's broken. The way we are doing church is broken. Jesus tried to warn us 2,000 years ago, the machine's broken. And you can open up your own machine, and you can run it just like that other machine, and it's broken, and it isn't going to work. Go ahead, Joe.
Amen.
But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren.
Wow.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself to be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
Amen. Okay, now hang on, because now he's going to begin to speak to the denominational leadership. Imagine he's talking today to the Methodist organization, not the individual Methodist pastor, to the Baptist, American Baptist and Southern Baptist organizations and Presbyterian. He's talking now, the scribes and the Pharisees were the ruling authorities of the church. You picking that up? Okay, go ahead, Joe. So imagine this now. He's talking to the Southern Baptist Convention. He's talking to the United Methodist Convention. He's talking to the Evangelical Lutheran Church folk of America. Go ahead.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in.
Kingdom of heaven, we talked about that earlier. Maybe we need to do another story on that. Heaven isn't where you're going. Heaven is a kingdom that's here and now. Go ahead, Joe.
Woe unto ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation.
Mm.
Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Oh yeah, they start serving their denomination, right? And they start moving up in the ecclesiastical order. I get it. I see it.
Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor.
Mm-hmm.
Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools.
Hang on, Joe. Jesus is showing us an effort in, by the way, an apostolic anointing, right, of friendship evangelism as he's talking to these. He's calling them names, friends. Go ahead, Joe.
Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon.
Here you go again.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Joe, what are those weightier matters of the law?
Judgment, mercy, and faith.
And they've ignored those, haven't they? They've ignored judgment. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge?
Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Wow, what a picture.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres,
gravestones,
which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Wow.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous.
Mm.
And say...
Okay, mine's working now.
Go ahead, Joe.
And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
Yeah, would you read that again, Joe? Because that's us, isn't it? Huh? Boy, if we'd have been around here in 1913, they wouldn't have got... Boy, if we'd have been here in 1960, they'd have never taken prayer out of the school. Boy, if we'd have been here, they'd have never gotten the Bible. Boy, if we'd have been here... What's he say? What's he say, Joe?
And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
Yeah, take the jab with little baby's blood and go ahead, take those jabs.
Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets.
Wow.
Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers.
Wow.
How can ye escape the damnation of hell?
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. Who's he talking to here?
Scribes and Pharisees.
Which is what?
Leadership of the church.
Okay, keep going.
Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues.
And run them out of town. Yep.
And persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
And it did, by the way, Joe. It did. The temple was thrown down. The temple was thrown down, folks. Go ahead.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
You wouldn't have it, man. No way, baby. Behold, your house is, behold, your nation is left unto you desolate. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
That was Friendship Evangelism by Jesus Christ himself to the leaders of the church in Jerusalem around 35 BC, 33 BC, 30 BC, one of those days. Come on in, Randy. I got something else. Go ahead. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, it was 30 AD, Coach.
But 30 AD.
That generation, it didn't pass away, because in 70 AD, they saw all that fulfill, everything that Jesus said. He'll say it in Matthew 24, but Matthew 23, Coach, was the warning. He just reiterated what all the prophets said for all those thousand years, And then they saw it come to pass. So he was speaking it. Coach, this day is no different. We are seeing the blood of what the church has spilled and hasn't stood for. It's been insignificant because it's been ignorant of the devil's devices for so many years. And we're getting ready to see a judgment even on the church, Coach.
Yeah, it is.
The same picture we saw what Jesus said was coming. I'm saying that, Coach. I've been saying it for a long time. This is coming to the church. He's gonna burn up, tear down all this false religious system. And it's no wonder we're speaking this word right now in this day, Coach, because this is what's coming.
I'm going to make a connection.
You're on it, Coach. This is right on money. You are so on it.
Thanks, Randy. Stay with me a second. Craig, come on in, and Jeff.
Well, a lot of the bigger churches, the pastors are the CEOs.
Yes.
So they're not the teachers. And so when you look through the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as a rabbi. Rabbis are teachers. Okay, so that's your present role. And look at what Jesus did. He taught his disciples to go out and take on the enemy. He told them who the enemy was, and then he told them how to do it. And then he would go back and he would tell them what the scriptures were saying and say, this is so you can learn. So when you read the scriptures, you're not going to need me. I'm going to leave you the scriptures.
Amen, brother. Amen. So Craig, again, let me pat myself on the back. Sometimes it hurts my shoulder to do that. That's exactly the model we have here. Jeff Klein doesn't need me. Randy doesn't need me. Craig Mickle doesn't need me. They go do it. They go do it, right? And why do they do it? They go do it. They come back. They check back in. They say, here's what we did yesterday. This worked and it didn't work. Do you have any advice how we can move forward? And in the multitude of many counselors, we say, yeah, maybe you ought to try this, or maybe you ought to do this, or maybe you ought to. Folks, this is how it's supposed to function. You don't look, you can pick up the phone and call me if you want to. I'll take your call and I'll rub your back if you want to. But you can call each other. In the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. Why do you have to go to the past? See, the pastor, folks, I'm not beating on pastors. It's a broken machine. They've done it to themselves. He has put himself here. He's not supposed to be here. He's here. Marriage ring, marriage, each one of these things. And isn't it amazing that, look, the little finger has no authority over the prop. Isn't that something? Try to take your ring finger and get dominance over your pointing finger. Do it right now. See if you can do that. See if you can make your ring finger control your pointing finger. Unless you're a good piano player, you probably can't do that. And I can promise you this, you sure as heck, Pastor, can't control the thumb. I can tell you that. The thumb's got it on everybody. Why? It's the apostle. It's the church planner, the church builder. This is vivid. This is good, isn't it? So I'm not beating up on pastors. Dude, you're working off the wrong model. You're working the wrong model. Jesus came in and told the Pharisees and Sadducees, this model's broken, boys. I'm about to tear this down. This model's broken. And then what do? We go and copy almost the exact same thing and do it all over again. And that guy wants to, truly in his heart, wants to serve the Lord, wants to be a pastor, and he goes out and be a pastor, and he becomes, as somebody said, the CEO. Becomes the CEO. And everything changes. And sadly, the people sitting in the pew, they may be being taught, but they ain't being mobilized. Train, equip, and mobilized. Anybody know where that is?
Amen.
Trained. If you're trained and equipped and you never go, if you play football for me and you come to practice and I put you a uniform on you and you never run on the field, you're worthless to me. You're worthless. And that's what we've done. We've built a church of bench sitters. They got the uniforms on. They know the plays, but they never run them. Never run them. Train, equip, and mobilize. Train, equip, and mobilize. I don't even know if we train and equip anymore, but we certainly don't mobilize, right? I got to get moving here. Let's see. Coach. Silver, come on in, Silver.
Hey,
yeah, Craig.
Coach, one more quick thing. Do you think when Jesus sent the 72 out that he stood back around a corner and kind of looked and see that they were knocking on the door? You think he followed around?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It says right here. I'm sorry, Craig. Spencer had
it. I'm just saying. Just looking at it, just saying he sent them out. I mean, he didn't go follow behind them.
No,
they all came back and gave him a report.
That's right. So Jeff's going to go to the school board meeting tonight, and he'll report in tomorrow. I don't have to go with him and hold his hand to do it, right? Where was it? So he gave some apostles. There they are. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Some pastors. Do you see that they're together? Do you see pastors and teachers is the same spot? Really? Pastors and teachers? Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is there any work of the ministry? Is there any work? That's what we're supposed to do. It's not getting. I got to get somewhere. I got time yet. I got time. Jeff, then Randy.
Coach, what you're saying is exactly on the point. You think about it. What happens if you're relying on that pastor? What if I was relying on Pastor Bill or you or some? Now, Pastor Bill's got a tragedy in his life. He's been down for the count for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So it's me, Tom Branstall,
Trained, equipped, and mobilized to go do the work of the ministry. You don't need him there holding your hands.
Amen. And we call each other, us guys. Hey, there's another meeting tomorrow night. Let's go. And then we're there. And the guys are there. And we go. And the people look at us like, who are you, crazy idiots?
Yep.
They don't get it.
Functioning body, reporting back to your leader, letting him know what's going on. He gives you a little bit of coaching. Keep going, boys. Keep going. Because why? He can't be everywhere. Plus, it's not his job to be everywhere. Randy.
Coach, if you really look at our huddle here, you see every fivefold gift in this. And no wonder, Coach, we do things. It's because we are equipped.
Yes, sir.
Look at the churches, Coach. And I'm not bad-mouthing my brothers and people. There's good
Jesus
in those places. But are they doing anything? Are they really doing the work of the ministry? They aren't, Coach, because they don't have a true pastor. They don't have an apostle in there that's equipping them. They don't have these gifts operating. These are not positions. These are not skill sets.
Thank you, Randy.
These are callings by the Holy Spirit.
You are born with this.
You operate in it. You don't learn it. You get better at it by doing it. But it's just what God has put in you, Coach.
Mic drop. These are not positions. These are anointings. Mic drop. Leslie.
Yes, sir. Sometimes I think they're bound because they're 501c3. And a way to get out of that is a 508C1A and releases them from the government's control because they're not allowed to say certain things.
I would agree with that to a point, Leslie, but I can tell you this. Some of the pastors that I know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. They love the 501C3 because it's an excuse not to speak the truth. Just telling you, we're not allowed to talk about that. We're not allowed to talk about politics. That's what they say.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Bring up Mario Murillo, though. This is where
I love him.
This is where I'm heading today. Okay, I think he and I are brothers. Well, I know we're brothers. My dad must have had an affair or something. I listen to that guy. I'm either reading his stuff or he's reading my stuff. Can you get it up there, Spence? Oh, you're not Spence. You're Jared. It's third one down. 1, 2, 3. Mario Morella. Five devastating things from the pulpit. Wow. I'm going to read this real fast, Joe. Not that I don't trust you. I just want to run through it quick because I think it's important that I keep politics out of the pulpit. I believe that there are five devastating things I believe there are five things that excuse will likely do to your ministry. We've spent so much time talking about this message is urgent, yada, yada. Go on down, Jared, to the very first one. Five things, Mario Murillo says. Number one. Many in your congregation believe if you're not mixing politics with religion, if you're not talking about these issues from the church pastors, here's what Mario Murillo says the result is in your church, whether you realize it or not. Number one, many in your congregation believe that you no longer care about them. They're being fired for refusing the vaccine or simply because they're Christian. Their children are suffering at school, being expelled for wearing Christian t-shirts, being groomed by teachers for sexual perversion, being labeled racist oppressors, critical race theory. They're facing brutal things every day. And if you do not address, equip, or defend them in this war against their families, they take their family to a pastor who will stand up for them. The sheep want help. They need help. Paul said, I kept nothing that was helpful. So Christian moms go to school board meetings to confront child porn in the classroom, and they look around, and what do they say? Where is my pastor? Are you listening, Pastor? Are you listening, Pastor? Number two, Mario Morello says this to the pastors. You're ignoring your duty and your power to stop the persecution of the church. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? Give me a thumbs up. Paul models this duty for you in Acts 16:37. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and they've thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, he said. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Paul did not do this to protect himself. He did it to protect the fledgling church at Philippi from a rogue government. Christian moms go to school board meetings to confront child porn, and they say, where is my pastor? Somebody say, just say amen. Say it right now. Just say amen. Pastors, amen. Are you listening? Amen. Pastors, we're not against you, pastors. We're for you. We're for you. We're not against you. You're losing the respect of your people, Pastor. You're losing the respect of your people. Number three, God will seek a replacement. You're not only disappointing your people, oh, Lord, help us. You're grieving the heart of God. Let that sink in. You're not only disappointing your people, you're grieving God. Mordecai delivered this warning of replacement to Esther. For if you remain completely silent at this time, Pastor, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your daddy's house, they're going to perish. Yet who knows, Pastor, whether you've come into the kingdom for such time as this. Likewise, Pastor, God gave you a pulpit and influence for such a time as this.
Amen.
Wow, this is profound, isn't it? Hey, get mad at Mario Morello. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what somebody else wrote. Number four, government will not allow you to remain neutral. Yes, Sir Joe, government is not going to allow you to remain neutral. Acts 4:9, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And Peter realized that he had no choice but to resist the irrational ban on the gospel. He knew that left unchallenged, their restrictions would lead to control over everything that they could preach. Wow.
Amen.
In the great global reset, the state will hand you your sermon topics. It's coming to that, isn't it? Isn't it? In the short term, silence will let you keep woke members. Oh, Lord, don't miss this. In the short term, silence will allow you to keep woke members. But in the long term, you're going to lose everything, Pastor. Number five, Pastor, Martin Morello says, you are endangering the souls. You are also endangering the souls of believers who consider themselves woke.
Amen.
Yes, there are many who see nothing wrong with combining Christ and wokeness. They don't see it because they're blind. Denial will keep you from facing that wokeness, and Christianity cannot mix. Wokeness and the Democratic Party no longer just support abortion. They celebrate it. They no longer advocate for transgender rights. They're trying to destroy anyone who disagrees with their sexual mandates. They no longer just disagree with the Bible and Christianity. They seek to eradicate it. Wokeness hates everything a Christian stands for. If woke Christians in your church do not realize that they cannot be woke and Christian, then, dude, that is a reflection of your preaching. There's a good amen. Somebody,
amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
He says you should be, oh man, makes me want to weep. Because I know these pastors went into it with good intentions. I know they did. I know they did. I know the hearts of these men. They got a broken lawnmower. And they don't realize it. Got a broken lawnmower. You should be more concerned about their souls than their membership. You may have held on to them physically. But brother, they left your church a long time ago spiritually. Wow, there's a good amen.
Amen.
Worst of all, they do not know that the concoction of Christianity they cling to will not save them. In conclusion, I see no upside to staying neutral and quiet. Me either, Mario. I see only disaster. In fact, I will probably not have to write on this subject again, because the idea of remaining quiet about evil will very soon collapse under the weight of its own folly. There's still great hope for every ministry that chooses to sacrifice for truth. Our ministry is seeing great fire and harvest. Before it's too late, follow Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen, Coach.
Jeez. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach.
Come on in. Yeah.
They traded
yeah.
their mowers in. They're now riding around the zero turns, just spinning in circles.
Zero turns with the blades not engaged. Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah. Listen, one thing I get this right, it's not the pastor's job to be politicians. It's their pastor's job to instruct their congregations and their rulers what are their duties before God. If they're not telling people what God expects of them, they're not doing their job.
Amen. Amen,
Bernie. That's their duty to instruct.
But Bernie, I'm saying that it's a broken lawnmower. They don't know what their job is. They've put themselves in this Christian system, the same thing that Jesus spoke against. They've put themselves right in the midst of that, and they're trying to mow grass, and the mower's broken.
I know. I think it's closer to the coward thing.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
They're cowards, and they don't realize it. I just sent you an email. My son's still fighting this exemption thing in the Air Force. And finally, I told him to call my pastor. My pastor wrote him a great letter. I just emailed it to you. He said, Ben, he must not take that shot. I mean, come on, that's more straightforward. And this and that, you know. So
Yep. Don't take that shot. Joe Allen, come on in. Then Reggie.
Coach, we don't want the Great Reset. When that happens, we won't be able to pay our home payments. The government will own it.
Hey, Joe, so your pastor must not care about you, right?
That's right.
Huh?
Well, let's take Russia, for example. They did a reset there. They took the homes. If there's people on the street, they put them in your home. And they're that way today. Mm-hmm. Only the rich had their own homes.
Mm-hmm. That's what they want, Joe. That's what they want.
You will not own nothing.
You own nothing.
You won't pay nothing. But
and your pastor isn't doing anything to protect you from it. Not a damn thing to protect everything you worked your life during.
They're part of the Agenda 21 and Agenda 30, Coach. They're on the first list. They're on it. They mentioned every 501c3 pastor.
Let me ask you something, this folks. You think when the roundups starts, when the roundout stuff, you think they're coming to my place? What do you think, Jack? You think they're coming to my place, Jack? Huh? Some of those pastors, they'll be with them in the car when they come to get me. Go ahead, Reggie.
Good morning. Coach, I was reading a scripture a little after you, and it says, this is just me, I'm black and white. I don't understand why people are still sitting around in these pews, because it's let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why are they still sitting there allowing the pastors to fill their ears with this nonsense? It's like they just can't move. Why are we not ministering to them? They're men. Yeah, I don't understand why the congregation and the people that are awake aren't speaking up, standing up in the pews and putting them on the spot. That's what needs to happen.
Reggie, here's what I don't get. And it's Mario Murillo said it, the same thing about those women. Where's their pastor? Why don't they go to the pastor? Why aren't you individually going to your pastor and saying, Pastor, why are you letting this happen to us? Why won't you lead our congregation to push back against this, Pastor?
I hear, well, he's a good man. He's just ignorant. Well, make him unignorant. What is really good? Let's define good.
Well, hey, Red Skelton was good when he became Clem Clendeville Hopper. He was good. I don't want a good man. I want a good man who's got some stones. Go ahead, Betty. Then Naomi.
Good morning. Yes, I have talked to my pastor twice, and I have I've told him what I do not see up there. There's some things he's really great at, but there's other things that he is not preaching on, like transgender, abortions, etc. So he said, I will look into it. Well, wouldn't you know, look he calls again. And I says, I notice you haven't looked into too much lately. When are you going to start looking into abortions, transgender, gay marriages, etc.?
Amen. What did you say, Betty?
I'll just keep looking into it.
Yeah, he'll keep looking into it. That's right.
I'm sure I'm not welcomed at my church anymore.
Yeah, good for you. Hey, you know why? Because you're this guy. You're the pointer, aren't you? You're the thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear it. They don't want that correction. They want fortune tellers. They want you to tell them how much the Lord's going to use them and how big the congregation is going to grow. They don't want this one, not that one. No, no, no. Come on in, Naomi and Roger and Susan.
Exactly. So the thing that has happened to me when I've approached pastors on obvious things that the Bible talks about that they need to be doing, their response is, we'll have to pray about it.
Like you see some kid getting murdered on the corner and you got to pray whether or not you're going to go help him, huh?
Exactly.
Come on in, Roger.
It's all about the budget. See, it all comes back to the money with them, too. They are not going to preach in areas that they are concerned about the budget, and they have no concept of the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit moving people to give. I'd rather have 100 people that are spiritually fed and alive than 1,000.
Oh, my goodness. Roger, I'm with you so much, man. Huh? I got that's it. Susan, come in.
I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we have more churches here than we have CBD shops, and we got one of those on every corner.
Yep.
And we've got Rhema, and we've got ORU, and we haven't had a pastor for 5 years, because, you know, all those guys that feel called to the ministry, and what do? They go rent a storefront.
They pick up a broken lawnmower.
Exactly.
Well, like Chad said, Chad just texted me. They buy themselves a brand new zero turn, and then they're afraid to engage the blades. Come on in, John.
Yeah, I was going to say some of the pastors have taken the bribes, and some have not. But basically, you know, God is separating the wheat from the chaff, and that's just happening in our day and age right now.
Right in front of us, Jack McCarthy. Come on in, Jack. Then Teresa.
Yeah, one of the things that we talk about all the time, Coach, the words, it drives me crazy that now they're using woke as a negative. I want you woke, but it's a negative now.
Yep,
The language, culture, we're in so much trouble.
They kill us, man. They kill us. Teresa.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Pastors and church leaders don't want to listen to me because I refuse to sign on their dotted line to say I'm a member.
Your finger pointing.
I said, I'm a member just by being here. I mean, I've been in one church for 13 years and they won't listen to me because I'm not an official member that signed on the dotted line.
Wasn't that the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Wasn't that exactly what Silver read today that Jesus was speaking to? Exactly the same thing redone. Come on in, Silver.
Coach, I was going to say that a little later on, Jesus said, come out of her, my people.
That's what he said.
And
he gave us COVID to shut him down, didn't he, Joe?
That's correct. Okay. And people need to recognize that they are being ostracized and they don't really have a clue as to where to get an answer. And they need to turn to God.
Amen.
Amen, Joseph.
Amen. Hey, folks, listen. I love Pastor Tom Gill. I love Pastor Clint Harper. I love Pastor Bill Dunphy. I have a lot of great pastor friends. Okay, this is not a head whack of everybody, but we better understand that in an age. Remember those old rotary mowers that you used to push, and they turned as you pushed it. Folks, we're beyond that. We're beyond that. We now have powerful zero-turn mowers, and you sit on them and you ride, and you engage the blades, and they chew up and spit out those weeds. Pastors, get yourself a zero-turn. Engage those blades. You need it now more than ever. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.